Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all the many blessings you bestow upon us each and every day, but most of all for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to rescue us from the grip of darkness and sin and to lead us into your glorious kingdom of light. We pray that your word that has been proclaimed this morning will not return to you void, but will take root in our hearts and in our lives and accomplish all it has been sent to do. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. Today I want to talk a little bit about experiencing the consoling presence of the Lord. You know, Jesus came that we might have life and have it in abundance and wants to help us with all of our daily burdens and everything. And that gospel passage is so comforting. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. And I have a little coffee mug in the office. Actually, it's a big coffee mug because I make lattes for the staff with it that has that passage on it. And it just reminds us that God wants us to cast our cares upon him who cares for us. So a few things to kind of hopefully help you experience more of the consoling presence of the Lord in your own life. First and foremost, the first reading declare that God has visited his people. And so it's proclaiming that truth, rejoice, daughter Zion, your king comes to you, and so forth. And, you know, objectively, Jesus Christ did come. The Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. So this is a real historical event. God sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us from the reality of sin. And that's happened objectively. But what God wants is for each one of us to know that and experience that truth in our own hearts. And if we look around the world today, you know, we see kind of disturbing patterns of behavior that reveal that many people don't know that or have yet to experience it, the consoling presence of God, and that the Word became flesh. And so we always have to come back to that question. Jesus said, you know, who do you say that I am? You know, have you experienced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you opened the door of your heart, invited him to come in and change your life and move it in a very different direction? And so all of us have to always be examining that, and do I know the goodness of God in my own life? Psalm 34 proclaims, I sought the Lord and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Don't we need deliverance from fear right now with so many changes on the horizon in the world, in our country, in our church, partners in the gospel? We're going to have some very significant changes next spring and next summer. And so the Lord wants to deliver us from all our fear. And then it says, look to him and be radiant with joy, that your faces may not blush with shame. So God wants us to know that we can be confident coming into his presence and asking for help for the things that bother us or, you know, take joy out of our lives. This poor one cried out, and the Lord heard, and from all his distress, he saved him. So this is David, most likely the author of most of the Psalms, declaring God's goodness, that he was having a very difficult time in his life, and he cried out to God for help, and God came through. Do you know that in your own life? Do you know the goodness of God, that when we cry out for help, he comes to help us and wants to deliver us from all the troubles and burdens we have? Come to me, all your labor. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so we want to make sure that that's a reality in our own daily lives, and not just something that's around us but not inside of us. And that always comes through the gift of faith. And I was talking with somebody a couple of days ago, and we were just talking about the reality when you go through life and maybe some difficult things have happened, perhaps in your childhood, and maybe you didn't have the most loving, nurturing environment. But you reach a point in your life, and usually it's through some kind of crisis or awareness of your own brokenness, that you can't save yourself, that you need God's help in your life. And you open the door of your heart and invite him in, and everything begins to change. And this person was just sharing that testimony with me, and I thought, I know exactly what you're talking about. And we had a wonderful moment of prayer and fellowship because we both experienced the same thing in our own lives. You know, we all have difficulties, and we cry out to God, and in God's goodness, he comes and helps us and delivers us from all our fears. It's an ongoing process. It's not a one-time-only deal, right? So we rededicate ourselves to the Lord each and every day. And I think one of the reasons a lot of Catholics maybe have not experienced this personal relationship with Jesus It's because of some of the practices we've adopted in our faith. You know, the whole reality of infant baptism. So somebody comes forward when you're 3 months old. I was 3 months old when I was baptized. And has you baptized, and you had nothing to do with that decision, right? And you didn't really experience anything because you're not old enough to really realize you experienced anything. All I remember is my mom said I screamed my head off during the entire ceremony. Something must have worked. And so hopefully the ideal is that your parents bring you forward to share their faith with you. And then as you grow older, there will be a time in your life where you make a personal decision for Christ. And you say, I want to follow you as my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. And I desperately need your help in my life. And, you know, for most of us, that comes during a crisis or something where we realize our own weakness. For me, it was my aunt when she died of cancer. But what's happening now in our church is that many parents come forward to bring their children for baptism, but they don't follow through. You know, even last night, I was delivering the same message, a little nuanced. Today, I've changed a few things. I'm always tweaking things. But this young couple came out who has a couple of children. They said, you know, one of our members of our family wants to have the children baptized, but they don't want to go to church. I said, what? I said, Mass is one of the most important things for a Catholic. Why would you want to have your kids baptized and not follow through and take them to Mass and help them experience Jesus when they receive Him in Holy Communion? And so I said, you know, Houston, we have a problem. You know, talk to them about the importance of following through. So let me share an experience I had a few months ago that reminded me of this. So I couldn't go home Easter Sunday. I don't remember why. It must have been my schedule or something. So I went home the week after or the week after that. It was right around April. And I remember my brother works during the week. My sister-in-law works during the week. So it's just my mom. And, you know, she's not real active right now. And so I said, I want to go see a movie. I want to go see that movie, Jesus Revolution. So I left the house and I drove down to Richland. I remember there's this Italian restaurant called Casa Mia. And they had one in Olympia when I was first ordained, and they have the most amazing bread they bake. I can have lunch before the movie and have that great bread. Well, they still have the great bread. Lunch was good. But then all of a sudden, as I was sitting at the table, I just kind of had this prompting, don't go to the movie today. Instead, go to the chapel of Christ the King in Richland. I go, Christ the King in Richland? I haven't been there for years, you know, in the Daily Mass Chapel. Well, I drove there, and it was open. Our church is always locked because of security, but that church is open during the day, a little safer in Richland, perhaps. And so I walked into the chapel, and I just kind of knelt down, and it was a very emotional experience for me because, you know, I lost my dad, and the Lord just took me back about His goodness. Remember when you were a little child and you went to the mission church and how your dad explained the importance of the Mass and the tabernacle and that Jesus is present there and that you need to pay attention? This isn't a gymnasium. He told me, I guess it was a little hyperactive in my younger days. Not anymore, of course. And all of a sudden, He just led me through how He led me to my vocation to become a Catholic priest and how my dad and mom were a part of that. They followed through on their promise to have me baptized and raise me in the Catholic faith. And I asked my dad when I was in fourth grade, Dad, I really want to learn more about my Catholic faith. Can I leave your school? He was the principal. And go to Christ the King. Sure, I'll send you to Christ the King so you can help discover God's plan in your life. And I just thought about the goodness of God, and I was overwhelmed. But my parents followed through. They took us to Mass every Sunday. And nowadays, parents don't do that. They skip Mass. They don't pray with their kids. They don't read the Bible to them. And our kids are growing up very lost and without a sense of direction and without a saving encounter with Jesus Christ. And I think part of that's because infant baptism is just something we do, and we just, oh, well, I hope you follow through. If you don't, well, I'll see you later. It's not working. So I think we really need to reevaluate how we do all these things in the Catholic Church, because the evidence is saying that we're not raising disciples and mature people who have a relationship with Jesus and understand the depths of His love and everything. But when I went to the church that day, I was just overwhelmed with a sense of God's goodness and gratitude that my parents followed through and help me discover the path God had carved out for me as a Catholic priest. So if you're a parent sitting in this church today, and maybe you're kind of like, well, this isn't the most important thing, that can change. And understand the importance of it. Our kids are really messed up, and many are suicidal, drugs, and just detached and depressed and oppressed. But you can always make a commitment to the Lord and say, Lord, help me through the grace of the Holy Spirit to really understand the importance of my vocation as a mom or a dad, and to do the best I can to show your love and goodness to my children. What greater gift could you pass on to your children than your faith in Jesus Christ? Isn't that the most important thing? I think it is. But I think a lot of people are confused. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will renew our church and help us to really come to grips with what we're doing now isn't working. It's not working. There's so much evidence it's not working. But things can always change, and it always starts with us rededicating ourselves to the Lord. You know, last week I told you about the importance of the charismatic gifts, and I'm a firm believer in that because it's a very integral part of my vocation with the parish mission and a word of knowledge someone shared with me. So I usually do this little news search every morning, and I go to a website that has words of prophecy, and I read them, and some of them really resonate with me, and some are like, okay, that's not so good. And this reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Do not despise inspired messages from the Holy Spirit, but test everything. Retain what is good, throw out what's evil. So when somebody appears to have a word of prophecy for you, you just don't accept it face value. You test it. And so I tested this word, and I think it's really relevant for us today. And I hope it encourages you like it encouraged me. And I want to share it with you. And just remember those words in the gospel. If you have problems this week or difficulties, come before the Lord like I did in the chapel that day in Richland and cast your cares upon him and watch what he does with you. That was an amazing thing. I never expected it. I didn't plan to go to that. I went to the movie the next day, actually. Good movie. $5 matinee. Can't beat that. And there are like five people in the theater. So here's this word that I read this last week. It comes from July 7th. It's a message. And you pray about it. You know, test everything. Do not despise inspired messages, but retain what is good, throw out what's evil. So I hope this inspires you. My child, who can I speak to? Who will listen to my voice, my words when I am crying out? I have pleaded with my children, and yet so many are far away, they don't recognize my voice that is intricately weaved into the soul of mankind. I come to you in love. I come to you in warning that you must have greater vigilance at what is happening all around you. I tell my children it is a time to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that you are able to discern all that comes in your path. My children, history is all around you while you are also living out Revelation. Take heed to the gospel message and live it. I have come to nurture and teach you as I am calling all of you to be counted amongst the saints in heaven by living your life in witness and example. I tell my children that it is a time of reform. Come to the fountain of my mercy and do not shackle yourself to your past errors. Rather, embrace my love, unite your suffering to mine. And be my witness in this broken world. It is through your love, forgiveness, and obtaining the graces of heaven that will begin to heal this world. Recognize evil for what it is and do not take hold of it by complying out of fear. Do not allow the enemy to elevate himself through you. Rather, in greater humility, you will defeat all of his deception. Go forth in prayer, go forth in adoration to your Heavenly Father, who through his Son, Jesus, gave you this life, this mission to one day be united with the Trinity for all eternity. Now go forth, for I am Jesus, and my mercy and justice will prevail. My mercy and my justice will prevail. Amen.